We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. We're chatting today with 67th District Representative Tom Phillips from Manhattan. Our legislative session begins January 13th. We're getting kind of a preview of what's to come. You know, big topic statewide the last couple of years has been Medicaid expansion, and it looked like we were going to maybe get a little closer to that. There's been a lot of headway between Republicans and Democrats in the legislature, and a lot of folks, there's been a lot of support, but there's been a lot of against it as well. It sounds like it's a need here from a lot of folks. Hospitals support it. I've heard a lot of folks in the education field supporting it. What's your stance on that right now?
No, I think I've voted for Medicaid expansion four, maybe five times over the years. So I do support it for a variety of reasons. Last year, the House... I've had several conversations with constituents here in town that are upset about the so-called gut and go process. But that was used in order to finally get a Medicaid expansion bill onto the House floor. Our own leadership in the House and in the Senate were refusing to allow Medicaid expansion to be debated on the floor. We thought it was such a high priority that we used a means that, needs to be used rarely, I think. But anyway, it was used. And so the House did pass Medicaid expansion last year. It went over to the Senate, and it was just bottlenecked over there by the Senate leadership. Over the summer, Senator Jim Denning has written his own version of a Medicaid expansion bill. And it was released, and I don't think it was embraced entirely. The more conservative wing of the party, Republican Party, did not like it because it was increasing taxes. I've had conversations with that several parts of it probably would not be approved by CMS, the federal government's arm of healthcare. So I don't want to say it's dead on arrival. I've heard conversations, chatter that Senator Denning is working with people in the governor's office, and I think they're trying to figure out is there a way to successfully get Medicaid expansion in the state. So, and ultimately, now that Governor Kelly is in office, it's going to have to meet her standards for acceptance. Otherwise, she would veto that bill. So, I'm cautiously optimistic that there will be a bill. And I've told, and I say people all the time, I have voted for Medicaid expansion, but I will not vote for a bad bill. If a bad Medicaid expansion bill comes out of the Senate and is forced to come over to the House, and it's called a conference committee report, which means we just have to vote it up or down. We can't amend it. And I'm hearing from the Hospital Association, from our own local officials, that this is not a good bill, then I would not vote for it, even though I've just told you I would vote for Medicaid expansion. It has to be a bill that achieves sustainability for our rural hospitals. It has to restore a level of care to households that need health care that currently aren't able to obtain or purchase health care. So I do support it, and I just hope we are able to come out with a good bill and get something that the governor finds acceptable and we can approve it this next year.
It seems like there is a segment of the population that kind of falls through the cracks. They may be well off a little bit here with some money. But then at the same time, rising costs of healthcare, it's a real thing.
It is. There's a gap. There are people that are currently qualify for Medicaid, and then there's about 150,000 is the number that's estimated that earn a little bit more than meets the qualifications for Medicaid. But these are folks that may be working two or three service sector jobs, 20 hours a week in each job, not provided health care. And they're working, but they just are unable to meet the premiums. And the reason I'm familiar with it is, and my wife works down at our Manhattan Free Clinic, health care clinic, And I hear stories repeatedly about, you know, people that are in various industries here in our own town that have to come and receive free health care at the clinic because they just aren't able to afford going to a physician or urgent care clinic or whatever other options are out there. So I think it's important.
Yeah, that's very disappointing that takes place. Yeah. As far as other bills that you're kind of getting behind this time?
You know, dark store theory, that probably rings a bell with people here in Manhattan. I have been working with our Board of County Commissioners, and we have our own city commissioners that are also very concerned about this. I'll take a minute to talk a little bit about this. There is, disagreement between county appraisers' views of how you appraise a building and how private appraisers want to appraise commercial property, big box stores. The dark store theory suggests that when you appraise, and I'll use Walmart, Target, it could be anybody that's a big box, that you're only appraising the four walls and the ceiling. You're not including the operation inside the building. It's just a dark store. Then that's the value of the building. And that's how the term dark store theory gets created. The county appraisers use approach that looks at location. If you're in a high traffic area, it's usually a greater value. If there's a sales based on square foot and has a great deal of retail sales going on, that increases. So there's a disagreement about that. And so I'm working on a bill that would support the approach used by the county commissioners. I should back up and make this point because I think this is critical in the process. If the state accepts the dark store theory approach to appraisal, what that will mean is that commercial property would be lowered in property value, less revenue coming into the counties. And so at that point, there are basically two big options. You're either going to cut budgets or you're going to shift that revenue stream over to the residential property owners. And that's what they're very fearful of, is that if this becomes the acceptable means to appraise commercial property, revenue comes down at the county. And if they can't figure out a way to cut budgets, then they're going to have to increase the mill levy, which means residential property owners' property taxes go up to offset the lost revenue from the lower property appraisal of the commercial property. And that has our county commissioners and a lot of counties very concerned going forward. So this is going to be a big debate, I can guarantee you, because ultimately you're talking about a lot of money. So there's going to be a lot of strong, powerful political forces at work inside the State House trying to get this dark store theory to be approved as an acceptable means to approve it. And then you're going to have the Americans for Prosperity, probably the Realtors Association, the Kansas Chamber. There'll be a lot of what I call heavy hitters trying to get that legislation approved through the legislature. So I may be on a small boat in a big sea, but I'm going to carry this bill forward and try to get it introduced into tax committee and see what happens.
It's so interesting because this is not just a Raleigh County issue. This happens all over the state. I know there's a big case in Johnson County last year with Bass Pro, but we're talking millions and millions of dollars. And you mentioned this would be more than likely a shift in the tax burden onto the property owners who pay the taxes.
Right, residential property owners. Yeah, and this is happening all across the country. This is not just something isolated here in Kansas. This is a movement going on all across the country. And I should say I'm sympathetic. I mean, a commercial property is paying a significant amount of money on their commercial properties, and I understand that. But what often we don't completely always understand, it might be good to get Greg McHenry in here because he's very good at explaining this. You know, our county appraisers have to comply with the guidelines and standards set out by the state. And so it's not like they're out there. There's this perception in, that I talk with fellow legislators that county appraisers are simply doing this to make revenue increase and keep their county commissioners happy. I don't get that sense at all from our appraiser office here in Riley County. I think that they are trying to be fair and comply with the guidelines set out by the state of Kansas. So that's going to be a big issue.
I understand we have a phone call. Let's get to them real quick. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes. I'd like to ask Representative Phillips how he feels about getting some public employees cost of living in their retirement. You know, a police officer or a firefighter that retired from Manhattan hasn't had a cost of living for their retirement in 20 years. Now, you tell me what the inflation rate is and what their retirement dollars worth today that they got 20 years ago, and what can we do about it? You're talking about the loss of Medicaid, Medicare. There's going to be a lot of these people looking for some medical help, too.
Right. First of all, I am aware that this issue has been around for a long time, and the CAPERS funding situation is another long-term issue that needs to be tackled. We not only current enrollees, but also future ones. And so it's one of those long-term needs that we have to continue to put money into today. And so I think we're trying to increase funding. I'm not seeing any effort to provide a cost of living raise to current enrollees. It's something that I would have to just get a better handle on what that cost would be to the system. But it's a valid point that you bring that these folks have probably been on the system for a long time. I think, did you say 10 years? 20 years.
And they haven't had a cost of living in 20 years.
Yeah. And
you retired after June the 2nd of 1999. You have not had a cost of living raise.
Yeah. And on the surface, that does not sound right.
And I don't think how far you dig, it's not going to sound right.
Yeah. So, but like everything that I have to deal with is the cost and trying to meet a lot of competing interests and needs across our state with not a lot of financial support. So as I often tell people, we just have to, I think, incrementally tackle each one of these issues, and which means it's going to take a long time, and we're probably not going to raise taxes a whole lot going forward. So it's a real struggle trying to balance all these competing needs.
How would you feel, Mr. Phillips, if when you called the fire department or the police department, they gave you a runaround like you just give me over a cost of living?
That wouldn't be acceptable.
No, it wouldn't be acceptable. But once they retire, you just hang them out to dry.
Well,
you don't need them anymore, so you don't take care of them.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you're wanting me to say. Are you wanting me to say that I will give you a cost of living raise? I mean, I can.
I'd like to hear you say you'd at least try.
Well,
and work at it.
I will.
As hard as you are at Medicare extension.
Fair enough. I tell you what. I need to sit down with you. I'm not sure how to exchange information, but you probably can figure out a way.
Dave
to get
Dave Lewis knows who I am.
Okay. Dave's shaking his head. All right. I'll make a commitment right now. I will make a phone call, and we'll sit down and discuss this.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. You got a few more minutes?
I do.
Mr. Phillips? All right. We'll do a short segment next coming up here on In Focus. More with Tom Phillips after this on K-Man.